With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. Who are the people who try to ban our books?
They come in all walks of life. They come from all sections of the country. They come from all economic groups, even all political persuasions, left as well as right.
That's William Noble, author of Book Banning in America. He says would-be censors are not only the usual political conservatives and religious right-wingers.
A certain group of the feminists who are against pornography, who feel that pornography puts women into a position of having their civil rights violated, and the only way to prevent that from going forward is to do away with all books dealing with pornography.
Those women have been pretty well repudiated, even by their sister feminists, but
they almost were able to achieve the passage of legislation in Indianapolis, Indiana, and Minneapolis, Minnesota in the middle 1980s to get their views regarding pornography passed as legislation.
Then there are blacks who mounted an assault on the American masterpiece, Huckleberry Finn.
In the 1880s, when it was first published, it was banned as a earthy, disagreeable novel by the conservatives. 100 years later now, people are finding it racist, and so they're banning it for that purpose.
And the CIA, it has a publications review board to which all former CIA employees must submit manuscripts for government approval.
18,000 pages were reviewed in 1989 by the CIA publications review board. That's over 300 manuscripts.
William Noble's timely book, Book Banning in America, looks at who bans books and why, and comes during a time of stepped-up assaults on the First Amendment. Published by Paul Erickson of Middlebury, Vermont. Don Swaim, News 88. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. William Noble looks at who bans books and why in Book Banning in America.
When the political climate is conservative, book banning and censorship will follow right along. For example, back in the 1950s, during the McCarthy era, we had a spurt of book banning, and you remember the blacklisting in the film industry, for example.
School libraries are frequent targets of would-be book banners.
If a parent comes into a school board and says, I think a book should be taken off the shelves because I believe it's offensive to whatever beliefs I hold dear, they're making a judgment not only for themselves and their own children, but for other people's children as well.
What sort of person would try to prevent others from reading certain books?
People who feel some kind of a concern or danger out of books are those who have a deep feeling that the devil, in some fashion, is in the written word.
And the only way to get the devil out of the words is to remove the book from the shelves, a feeling that goes back centuries.
On the continent of Europe, for example, they used to burn heretics at the stake and their books along with them if they did any writing.
America had its first book burning in 1650 when a book was put to the torch in the Boston marketplace. And William Noble says in his own state of Vermont recently, a church group held a public book burning. Such tactics, however, usually backfire.
As Mark Twain said when they first banned Huckleberry Finn, he wrote to his cousin and he said, Dear Charlie, they've just banned Huckleberry Finn in the Concord, Massachusetts library. That means we'll sell 25,000 more copies.
Book Banning in America by William Noble raises important issues for those concerned about freedom of expression. Published by Paul Erickson, Don Swaim, News 88. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. The author of Book Banning in America, William Noble, says certain books are constant targets by would-be censors. Anything by Judy Blume, for example. But there was a book banning in Alaska in 1987 that has Noble scratching his head.
They banned the American Heritage Dictionary up there because certain words that we think of as nouns, like bed and balls, nut, were given secondary meanings. And the word bed was, of course, turned into a verb, so it became something to bed someone.
Other targets of the censor include the Random House Dictionary, the Doubleday Dictionary, and the Dictionary of American Slang, all containing words someone doesn't like. William Noble says America is the only industrialized nation in the world to have anything like the First Amendment.
We can easily take it for granted. We can assume that our right to free speech and free expression is something we've always had and always will have. But no, we've got to keep fighting for it and we've got to keep protecting it.
And William Noble says the impulse to censor is pervasive, especially in a conservative climate, and it's not going to go away.
There will always be people who want to ban books, always be people who want to censor books. We have to understand that and we have to try to keep that as an important antagonist throughout our days in this democracy, or we're going to lose it.
In case you've forgotten, the First Amendment reads, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Don Swaim, News 88. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim.